Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Fiat Food, Why Inflation Destroyed Our Health and How Bitcoin Fixes. It is a polemical nonfiction book by investigative journalist Matthew Luziak, written at the intersection of economics, food policy, and public health. Its central purpose is to argue that modern inflationary monetary systems have not only distorted markets, but also degraded the quality of food available to ordinary people, contributing to chronic illness and declining health outcomes. Rather than treating nutrition as a purely scientific or personal matter, the book presents it as inseparable from political power, industrial incentives, and currency debasement. It also connects this argument to Bitcoin, which the author frames as a model of sound money that can help restore healthier incentives across the food system. The result is a provocative, interdisciplinary critique of how governments, corporations, and experts shape what people eat and how that affects physical and cognitive well-being. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book links monetary inflation to the hidden deterioration of the food supply. A core argument in Fiat Food is that inflation does not remain confined to finance. It changes the structure of everyday consumption by making cheaper, lower quality food substitutes more attractive and more profitable. The book suggests that when money loses value, producers and institutions are pushed toward cost-cutting, dilution, and highly processed alternatives that preserve margins while lowering nutritional quality. This idea gives the book its distinctive framework. Food inflation is not only about higher prices, but about the substitution of real nourishment with industrially engineered products that appear affordable, by tying dietary decline to currency debasement. Luziak asks readers to see obesity, diabetes, and other chronic diseases as downstream effects of economic policy, not just individual failure. The argument is controversial, but it is coherent within the book's broader claim that material scarcity and monetary distortion reshape public health in ways that are often masked by official statistics and consumer choice narratives. Secondly, it challenges official nutrition science and the power of credentialed experts. Another major theme is skepticism toward the institutions that have defined mainstream dietary advice over the last several decades. The book argues that public health messaging has often been shaped by bureaucratic interests, industry influence, and ideological commitments rather than by neutral science. In this view, nutrition experts are not simply mistaken. They are part of a system that repeatedly rationalizes policies favorable to powerful actors while presenting them as objective guidance. The book is especially critical of the authority granted to credentialed voices when their recommendations align with institutional agendas that may not improve health outcomes. This challenge to expertise is central to the book's investigative style because it reinterprets widely accepted dietary orthodoxies as products of political and economic power. Even readers who do not accept all of Luziak's conclusion will recognize that the book is asking an important question: who benefits when official nutrition advice normalizes ultra-processed food, weak dietary standards, and chronic dependency on medical treatment? Thirdly, religious and ideological influences are presented as part of the anti-meat turn. Fiat Food also explores the cultural and ideological origins of modern dietary dogma, especially the book's critique of anti-meat narratives. It traces the rise of plant-forward or anti-animal fat messaging not merely to health research, but to a broader mix of religious ideology, social reform movements, and industrial interests. The book highlights how certain moral frameworks were folded into nutrition policy and public messaging, helping create a lasting suspicion of meat, saturated fat, and animal-based diets. This matters because the author sees dietary ideology as more than a debate over food preferences. It is a mechanism through which populations are nudged toward cheaper, more processed foods that are easier to produce at scale. The book's historical framing gives this theme force because it suggests that nutritional doctrine can become culturally entrenched long after its original assumptions are questioned. Whether or not one agrees with the book's dietary preferences, its value lies in showing how moral language can be used to disguise economic and institutional incentives in food policy. Fourthly, the book treats chronic disease as a social and political outcome, not a private accident. A distinctive feature of the book is its insistence that rising rates of obesity, diabetes, autoimmune conditions, and related illnesses should be understood as systemic outcomes, rather than presenting chronic disease as a collection of isolated personal choices. It argues that modern food environments are engineered by incentives that reward overproduction, convenience, and shelf stability over human health. This framing broadens the discussion from diet tips to civilizational critique. The book implies that if a society normalizes cheap calories, low nutrient density, and constant exposure to processed ingredients, then poor health becomes predictable rather than exceptional. That is why the book's analysis is both economic and biomedical. The same institutions that shape prices also shape bodies. By insisting on this connection, Fiat Food encourages readers to question the assumption that public health crises can be solved by education alone. Its deeper claim is that a damaged food system reflects a damaged incentive structure, and that repairing one without the other will leave the underlying problem intact. Lastly, Bitcoin is presented as the monetary analog to nutritional restoration. The book closes the loop by positioning Bitcoin as part of the solution. Not because it directly changes diets, but because it offers a model of sound money that resists inflationary distortion. In Lisiak's argument, monetary integrity and nutritional integrity are parallel problems. When money is debased, food quality falls. When money is sound, the incentive to disguise decline with cheap substitutes weakens. This is the book's most ambitious conceptual move, since it ties a digital monetary network to the structure of daily eating. Bitcoin functions here as a symbol and mechanism of constraint, limiting the kinds of manipulation that fiat systems make easy. The slogan often associated with the book, "Fix the money, fix the food," captures this logic. The practical implication is not that Bitcoin alone can reform agriculture or nutrition science, but that sound money may help restore accountability across the entire supply chain. This makes the book unusual in its category because it does not stop at critique. It proposes a cross-domain framework for recovery. In conclusion, Fiat Food will be most useful for readers interested in monetary policy, food systems, public health, and the social consequences of inflation. It is especially relevant to people who already suspect that modern diet debates are incomplete without an analysis of industrial incentives and government power. The book offers practical value by encouraging readers to rethink how food prices, processing, and official nutrition advice are connected, while also inviting a broader intellectual shift towards systems thinking. Its strongest contribution is not a narrow dietary program, but a unified theory linking currency debasement, corporate food production, and chronic disease. Compared with conventional health books, it stands out for treating nutrition as a political economy question, rather than a lifestyle issue. Compared with conventional economics books, it stands out for tracing monetary distortion into the body itself. Even readers who disagree with its conclusions may find it useful as a challenge to default assumptions about expertise, affordability, and health. In that sense, it occupies a rare space between investigative journalism and policy critique, making it distinctive within both the Bitcoin literature and the broader literature on modern food reform. If you would like to support Matthew Lusiak, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.